We've been in this series called Place of Peace or Peace, and we've been asking the question, where's your place of peace? Before you go, this was supposed to be done last night, but there's an ornament for each of your trees, okay? So not for each person, but each family. So as you leave today, there's cookies that Brittany made with her family. Thank you, Brittany, for doing that. And then also an ornament. So make sure you grab an ornament and a cookie before you leave today, because I'm probably going to forget to say something about it at the end, okay? So we've been in this series called Peace. And as we've considered this topic, the reason is obvious. We're just in this time of where it seems like there's no peace, right? Worldwide, community, nationwide, internal. There's just all this chaos in our world. And so we wanted to do this series, just talking about peace. I've been partnering with some other preachers and some other churches to try to develop the sermon series. We've all kind of gone our different branches from it and that kind of thing. But what we focused on as far as peace goes here at Kalkaska Church of Christ, and just wanting our message to be, is that, one, I just want you to know that there's a promise of peace, that regardless of what chaos you're dealing with, and I'm guessing that most of us are or have, that God has promised us peace, right? And it may not be in this life, it may be in the next, when we're living with Him for all of eternity, but He has promised us peace. And from the perspective of the Israelites, what we've been looking at, is the fact that they had all kinds of turmoil because of their lack of obedience to a holy God, and because of that they were sent into exile, because of that they were getting reprimanded often through prophets, and they had all kinds of chaos, but what was promised to them is that peace would come as well, and of course Jesus came to be that peace. And so we have the promise of peace. We have the preparation for peace, understanding that we can't fully appreciate peace until we've lived through chaos, which I think that we all can appreciate and have lived through at some point in our life. Then we looked at the arrival of peace and the fact that Jesus came, and when He came, it wasn't just like a spigot turned on and peace was suddenly there. It was that Jesus was born and He came, and then His ministry started, and then His message was of peace, and then ultimately He would go to the cross so that we could have eternal peace. And then last week we looked at the consecration of peace and the fact that it is something that we have to take a hold of, that we have to consecrate our heart and say, do I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And we looked at the consecration of Jesus when He was 8 days old. Well, today, the message is pretty simple and pretty clear. But as you can see in your outline, we're going to be here for 3 hours because there's 10 points in it. All right? And so I'm going to run through these fairly quickly. But the overriding message is simply this. And I want you to go home and enjoy your Christmas lunch and open your... How many of you opened your presents already? All right. Yeah. Shame on you. I'm just kidding. Good for you. What's the earliest? 5 a.m.? Anybody got a 5 a.m.? 5:30? Yesterday, all right, I'm talking this morning, 6 o'clock, ain't 6 o'clock this morning? All right, we got a 6 o'clock, probably the earliest, all right, very cool. All right, but anyway, so as you're enjoying your afternoon with your family, I want you to know this, peace is for everyone, all right? It's for every single person. God is not limited who gets to receive His peace or who it's for that He sent Jesus into this world to die on the cross for us. He sent it for everyone. So I'm going to start with a traditional passage that we would read in the Christmas story. And yes, it's one that we've probably read over the last 4 weeks, all right? Luke chapter 2. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were, of course, terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize Him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Now we've asked the question over the last few weeks, why the shepherds? Yes, Jesus is our great shepherd. He said that my people are like sheep without a shepherd. David's Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And maybe that was the whole reason why. But we also know about shepherds is that they were like the lowest of the low socioeconomically. They were the people that the job nobody wanted. If you look back in Genesis, when Joseph took the people of Israel, came to Egypt, and they got to settle in the land of Goshen, it said when you meet the king, kind of keep the part that you're a shepherd's quiet, because the king and everybody in Egypt really thinks low of shepherds, right? But the fact is, I think that the angels came and that God sent the angels to the shepherds because God's peace is for the poor. God's peace is for the poor. When we look at Matthew chapter 25, the sheep and the goats, what did Jesus say? As much as you've done it to who? The least of these, you've done it unto me. God's peace is absolutely for the poor. Now I'm sure that at some point in all of our lives, most of us, I guess I should say, probably had an experience where we didn't have two nickels to rub together. Do you remember that moment, that time when you're trying to wonder, okay, do I pay rent or do I put food on the table? All right, can we go halvesies, right? Half rent, half whatever. And we've all had that moment. But the fact is, when we turn to God, God gives us peace. Why? Because God's peace is for the poor. Matthew 8 reads this way. Jesus is in his ministry years. We're going to look at Matthew 8 and some of chapter 9. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down this mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Now in this culture, kind of like how we treated COVID, if someone came with a big sign on their chest saying, I have COVID, and they were coming in your direction, and you saw the sign, what would be your immediate reaction, especially about 2 years ago? Hey, let's, my bubble, all right? Let's stay over there, right? I mean, that's how we would treat it. And I would even suggest that we even treat it that way today, that we're like, okay, you have COVID. You know, why don't you wait 5 days, then we'll celebrate Christmas, right? Well, leprosy was 1,000 times worse. People's body parts were falling off, right? And it was catchy, right? It wasn't just a, well, it's my deal, it doesn't have to be your deal. No, if you're around it, it will be your deal too. Well, this guy's leprosy, he's supposed to be on the outside of town and away from people. He came, he heard, he saw about Jesus, he approached him, he knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus reached out and touched him and said, I am willing. Be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest, let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. God's peace is for the physically hurting. God's peace is for the physically hurting. I know we have several in our body that are dealing with physical issues. And sometimes we cry out to God and are like, Lord, why am I having to deal with this? Is this thorn of the flesh that Paul talked about that I just have to deal with in my life? It's just my thing, just so that I'll know that your strength is enough and that your grace is enough. Maybe our bodies are just breaking down, and quite frankly, we're coming to the end of this life as we know it in this world, ready to go to the next. But what I can tell you is that regardless of the situation, of your physical situation and what you may be dealing with, God's peace is for you. God's peace. God is waiting there to hear from you and to talk to you and say, let's have peace in this situation, knowing that he knows best. Matthew 8, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer, the people, the enemy, the guy that's oppressing the Israelites, part of that regime, he came and pleaded with Jesus, Lord, my young servant lies in bed paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers. I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Can you imagine doing something that would amaze Jesus? Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast of the kingdom of heaven. So he's saying many Gentiles will believe and be in heaven. But many Israelites, those whom the kingdom was prepared for, will be thrown into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed, it has happened. The young servant was healed at that same hour. God's peace is for the Gentiles. And praise God for that. I don't know of any Jewish people that are here this morning. There might be some. But praise God that the message of peace was not just for Jewish people. As Jesus said, it was for the Gentiles as well. And that's you and I. Going on to Matthew 8, Jesus got into the boat. And this is a different account than what we've read the last couple of weeks. Jesus got into a boat, started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, and they're shouting, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up, rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the winds and waves obey him. God's peace is for those that are struggling with faith. I'm confident that there are some that would call themselves believers and are believers that still struggle with our faith. That there are things in this life, temptations that we deal with, that we struggle with our relationship with Jesus. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God's peace is for you, even if you're struggling with your faith. We go on to Matthew 8, when Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake. Hey, we're speaking in tongues. This for the next service, all right? We'll go. I'm just kidding, buddy. When Jesus arrived on the... I'm good. You let him scream, talk, whatever. We got kids in here, and I love it. It is the life of the church. When Jesus on the other side of the lake in the region of the Gadarenes, I can never pronounce that, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They came out of the tombs and were so violent that no one could go through that area. They began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance, so the demons begged, "If you cast us out, send us into the herd of pigs." "All right, go," Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and entered the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town. They told everyone what happened to the demon-possessed men. The entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone. God's peace is for those that are battling demons. God's peace is for those that are battling demons. I don't know what demon possession looks like today. Some of you may have experienced. I don't know if I have. But I know that Ephesians tells us that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but it's with this spiritual realm that we can't see and can't understand. So I don't know what it looks like today. I kind of wonder when I watch these documentaries. Yes, I'm one of those sick people. I watch the documentaries about these mass murders and these killings. I'm like, what would possess somebody to do something like? And so it has crossed my mind. Maybe there is. I don't know if that's demon possession or not. But I would say that, yes, it's still out there. And these guys were so possessed by demons that people couldn't even pass by where they were. That's how violent that they were. And Jesus, instead of going across the lake on the other side or staying away from him, walked by, and they recognized him because demons, yes, even demons, recognize who Jesus is. But he said to these demon-possessed men, in essence, "My peace is for you as well." And he cast the demons out, giving them peace. Matthew 9, after Jesus left the girl's home, another story, two blind men followed along behind him shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on us." They went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord," they told him, "we do." He touched their eyes and said, "Because of your faith, it will happen." Then their eyes were open and they could see. Jesus sternly warned them, "Don't tell anyone about this," but instead they went out and spread his fame all over the region. God's peace, yes, is for those who believe as well. I think even as believers, we have some unrest in our lives and in our hearts sometimes. And God is saying, listen, we have a relationship through Jesus, and my peace is for you. Matthew chapter 9, "What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I also will deny before my Father in heaven." God's peace is for those of us who are afraid. God's peace is for those of us that are afraid. I don't know what your biggest fear is in this life. Maybe it's of death. Maybe it's of bad weather. Maybe it's of travel. Maybe it's of work. Maybe it's of money. Maybe if it's not having enough. But God says, "My peace is for you. My peace is for you." Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." God's peace is for those whose burdens are heavy. God's peace is for those whose burdens are heavy. Matthew 6, "So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." God's peace is for those who worry and are anxious. God's peace is for those who worry and are anxious. Matthew 19, someone came to Jesus with this question, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" "Why ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" the man asked. And Jesus replied, "You must not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself." "I've obeyed all these commandments," the young man replied. "What else must I do?" Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. God's peace is for the wealthy. God's peace is for the wealthy. What's interesting about that story is when Jesus told the man to obey all these commandments, which ones did he leave out? The ones about his relationship with God. And he basically was telling the man, "You've elevated money to this place of godship, of lordship. You surrender to it as Lord." And so the one thing that the man was lacking was what? "You need to put away those foreign idols and you need to come follow me." God's peace is for the wealthy. Even when the wealth gets in their way, God says, "Come to me, give it to me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace." So I hope that you are getting the picture of all these different passages of Scripture, all these different stories that we can read about Jesus and his ministry. And the fact of the matter is that God's peace is for everyone. God's peace is for you. And God's peace is for me. And God's peace is for your neighbor and your coworker and your family member. God's peace is for everyone. But there's a caveat. There's a caveat, in my opinion, when it comes to God's peace, is that while it is for everyone, it comes with action. God's peace comes with action. We can sit and kind of bemoaning our situation and where we're at and our lack of peace and our chaos and just hoping something will enter in magically and make everything disappear. There are all of our problems. But the fact is, that's not how it works. God's peace is there for us to have. It's there at our fingertips. It's for everyone. But there's an action involved. So let me real quickly run through this action, all right? Number one, apply God's word. Apply God's word. How many more sermons do we need to hear about Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where it says, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teach them to obey everything Jesus commanded us"? How many times do we have to hear that message before we do that message? How many times do we have to hear that when we confess our sins before one another, that God forgives us before we'll actually sit down and be in accountability and confess with each other, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and say, "Help me get through this"? How many messages do we need to hear about not hating and loving one another and caring for those that can't care for themselves before we actually go do? And so when it comes to having peace in our life, the first thing that I think we need to do is apply God's word, not just listen to it, not just read it, but actually put it into action. We have these projects, we call them 2:14 projects, because James 2:14 says, "What good is a man's faith if there are no works? Can a faith like that save him?" We need to put our faith into action. We need to apply God's word. Secondly, community brings unity to you and God. Community brings unity to you and God. The quickest way I know that if you are burdened and having trouble with loneliness and with anxiety and with depression and heavy burdens, the best thing that I know to give you instruction of is this: you need to go hang out in Christian community. Not just so that you can unload your burdens on someone else, not just so that we can have a great big pity party where everybody throws in their problems into the middle of the pile, but so that we can be encouraged by one another, living life together, knowing that, yes, tough things happen in life, but when we put our peace and we receive the peace that Jesus has for us, man, it makes it a whole lot more bearable to get through this world when we're in Christian community. And when we're in community, it brings unity to us and to God. Next, we need to tell Him what's on our heart. We need to tell God what's on our heart. Now, I know this is a Sunday school answer. Read your Bible and pray. That's what we all need to do. But the fact of the matter is, we could all stand to probably read our Bible and pray, right? But we need to tell God what's on our heart. He can handle it. Read the Psalms of David. You don't think that guy unloaded thing after thing that we thought, man, I wouldn't be brave enough to say that to God. But God is big enough, He's got broad enough shoulders to handle whatever is on our heart to just throw it out before Him. We need to tell God what's on our heart. to keep whatever is causing the chaos and the lack of peace in our life to ourselves, and without relaying it to God and just expressing it to Him. He knows it already, but expressing it to Him can just help unburden our heart and take the weight right off of us, and He's ready to hear from us. We need to tell Him what's on our heart. Next, yes, we do need to immerse ourselves in His Word. Immerse yourself in His Word. We're finishing up reading our Bible through in the year. How many of you are on track to finish? I'll make sure I ordered enough t-shirts. Okay, looks like I'm all right. All right, and so next week starts a new year where we can read the Bible through all in a year. And I've come to this conclusion about why I keep encouraging this year after year, and it's this. The Bible is the story of God. It's the story of God. And if you want to know about the one that you've surrendered your life to, or are thinking about surrendering your life to, or wondering what all the hubbub is about this great... Does anybody say hubbub anymore? That was probably a strange word to say. Anyway, if you're wondering about who that is that all these people are worshiping and gathering together on a Sunday for, we need to pick up our Bibles and just read the story. Because the story will help us understand who God is. And there's some tough stuff in there. There's some difficult parts to read about who God is and His character. I'll give you a hint. God gets angry. It's all throughout the Old Testament. He gets angry. But we should know that about God. What makes Him angry? We need to know the story of the one that we serve. So we need to immerse ourselves in His Word. Just read it through. Understand the story. Understand this God of who it is that you worship and serve. Next is own your calling. Own your calling. I never want to say this because I don't want everybody to walk out the door, but you know what? Maybe you are the rich young ruler that Jesus is telling to go sell everything you have and give to the poor and come follow Him. That may be you. That may be you. You may be wrestling with the idea that, you know what? I kind of feel that God wants me to go over to the Dominican Republic or inner city somewhere in the United States or Thailand to be a missionary. I don't know. But we need to own the calling that God has placed on our heart. It comes by way of applying God's Word, what we talked about initially, as far as looking for people that we can serve that can't serve themselves. But sometimes God puts a special calling on your heart, and we need to own whatever that calling is. Is it going into ministry? Is it being a teacher? Is it being a leader in the church? Is it serving? Is it just entering into something in the community that will make an impact for a group of people? It doesn't have to be full-time paid ministry or missionary or anything like that. It doesn't have to be that. But whatever calling that God is putting on your heart, we need to own it in order to take action. And then finally, no action is action, but it's the wrong action. No action is actually action. I know that sounds confusing, doesn't it? I came up with that one all by myself. No action is action, but it's the wrong action. We can choose to say, nah, I'm kind of enjoying my lack of peace, Andy. I think I'll just curl up in the fetal position in my closet and just hope it all goes away someday. But that's the wrong action. God has called us to so much more. Yes, He sent Jesus to be the Prince of Peace and sent Him to give peace, deliver peace into our lives. But He didn't just say, woo, there you go, peace is there. He said, no, I want a relationship with you. And when you have a relationship with anyone, it doesn't come with us doing nothing. There's a give and take when it comes to relationships and when it comes to God. While it doesn't earn our salvation, of course, it's a salvation that comes with, this is what I desire of you as my family, as my children. I want you to take action. John 14:27, let's wrap up with this. Jesus says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus shared that verse, that phrase, that verbiage, at the end of telling the disciples that it's a good thing I'm going away because I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live inside you, to guide you, and to teach you. And what did He say? I'm leaving you with a gift, and it's peace of mind and of heart. That promised peace that we have that comes with knowing Jesus and having a relationship with Him. I wish, again, I could tell you that life is easy and that it didn't come with its chaos. But I'm telling you that God sent His Son, Jesus, to be the peace of this world, the Prince of Peace, so that we all could experience that peace in our lives and our heart. And regardless of what you're dealing with and what you're struggling with, and I don't want to minimize any of it, knowing that there are a lot of things that could be happening in people's lives, but the first place to turn, the first thing to realize, is that we have a God that loves us, that created us, that sent His Son to die for us, that desires for you and I to live in peace. So where's your place of peace, Kalkaska Church of Christ? My hope, my prayer through this series is that you've come to discover, if you haven't already, that our place of peace is with Jesus. He's the only one that's promised it, the only one that can deliver on the promise of it, and he's come to save. Have you put your trust in him? If you're here today and you've not done that, if you've not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, while the worship team comes up and sings one more song for us, I'll be down here, I'll stay around after the service, and I'd be glad to talk with you about that. Or if you're just really struggling with something, if you're just having these burdens that are weighing you down, I'll just ask any elders and their wives that I have here today just to come up to the stage, and we'll just be here to pray with you, all right? If there's just something that's really bogging you down and you just want someone to pray with you, we'll be glad to receive you and pray over you. Again, Merry Christmas. May the peace of God go with you. May he lead you through the next year, and may we fully put our faith and trust in him as we put into action his word and follow him and truly, truly, truly experience our place of peace in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the peace that can only come in Jesus. And Father, this life, as you know, it's not the easiest thing for us to live. We struggle with temptation. We struggle with depression, anxiety. We just struggle with loneliness. We struggle with just helplessness. And Father, my prayer is that in all of those situations, the first place we would turn is you. That we would look to you and apply your word, that we would be in Christian community, that we could pour our heart out before you, that we would immerse ourselves in your word, that we would own whatever calling you put on our heart, and that inaction is not even on the table for us. That we just fully trust in you and serve you. And through that, Father, may we experience your peace. That's what we long for. In Jesus' name, amen.